Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. I have no idea what number it is. Is it even numberable? Are we in order? What's the number?
329.
329. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Snoopy's behind me. Mm-hmm. But I can't pet him, but it doesn't matter. He gets petted plenty. Good to be with you. This is my weekly sojourn into thinking about life with you and then taking your questions wherever you are in the world. And people do watch from many places. So I have a real, what's a good adjective for this? Challenging is one possibility, but it's something probably you have not thought about, but it's big. So when is fear good? Well, let me offer you a thought. I tend to get my values from an outside source. I work them through. I'm not at all unquestioning, but the Bible, specifically the first five books, which is why I'm writing a five-volume commentary on the first five books called The Rational Bible, are a huge source. So I'm going to give you something to think about, even if you're an atheist. There are two beings that the first five books of the Bible tell us to fear. Can you, any of you, guess?
Fear God.
So, yes. All right, God, I had a feeling that one or more of you would guess that. We're supposed to fear God, which I will talk about in a moment. How about the other one? That this is what will come as a surprise. Your parents. That interesting? So everybody knows that the Ten Commandments has a law, honor your father and mother. But there is another law from the same book, and actually in Exodus, and it says literally, I'm translating from the Hebrew, a man shall fear his mother and father. By the way, the mother comes first with the fear, the father comes first with the honor. It's a real egalitarian perspective on parents. The father is not more valuable, the mother is not more valuable. So I want to talk to you about that. First of all, why fear God? That I could spend a tremendous amount of time on. Let me briefly say this. It works. If you really believe that you have to answer to a judging God for how you behave, you will behave better. They actually did they meaning some professors, and I don't think they were religious people. They did a survey and found that people were more ethical where they believed in a hell than people were in where they only believed in a heaven. If you think you'll get punished, you'll act better. People want to deny that, but I have a perfectly non-religious proof. When people know that there's no policeman, no highway patrolman on the highway, they go faster. That's it. If I can't get punished, then I'll drive the way I want to drive. That's human nature. That's the reason for punishment, aside from revenge, which people don't like the word. Fine, I can deal with that. We should another time, the case for punishment. But even putting that aside, it is so that people understand you can't do this. Look, do you think, you watching me now, or listening to me now, do you think there would be more or less crime if the punishment for any crime was a $50 fine. Okay, obviously the amount of punishment has a determinative impact on whether or not people will commit a given infraction or crime. There is a story, again from the book of Exodus, and the Pharaoh, the Egyptian ruler, ruled that all Jewish male babies be drowned in the Nile for a period of time. This took place. And he told two midwives who delivered Hebrew women's babies about this law. I believe the midwives were Egyptian. Others believe that they were Hebrews. It doesn't really matter. And it says the midwives feared God and did not follow what Pharaoh ordered. Now remember, Pharaoh was not just the king of Egypt, which is strong enough. Pharaoh was a demigod. Pharaoh was half God and half man. I mean, to disobey Pharaoh, it's we can't imagine it in our time. There's no figure comparable. But it says why they disobeyed him. They feared God. The road to not fearing people is to fear God. It is very hard not to fear people if you don't fear God. It's a very big deal, fear of God. I know we live in an age that thinks that God is a silly notion. We're paying the price because we're living in an age of utter moral chaos, intellectual chaos, emotional chaos, and it is entirely related to that issue. So fear of God is a huge moral issue. You fear God. You believe that you will be judged for how you behave. You will probably act better. Now to parents. So I think I may have mentioned this on a fireside chat, but I don't expect people to remember 329 fireside chats. On my radio show, which has been a massive educational experience for me, talking about 40 years of talk radio, I have no doubt I've talked with, not to, but with more people than any living person, which has given me a tremendous insight into humans. So I asked one day, if you didn't take drugs in high school, why didn't you? I had no idea what the answer would be. No idea. Almost everyone who called gave me not only the same reason, but the same words. My mother would have killed me. They feared their mother. And by the way, that is interesting because it says fear your mother and your father. The order is mother first in that verse. Yes, you have to fear your parents. We think of, the most important thing is to love your parents. It's a wonderful thing to love your parents, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to honor your parents. And it's very important to fear your parents, not be scared of them, not quake when they're around, but to have a healthy fear. We don't have healthy fears now. We have unhealthy fears. I'll give you an example of another fear we should have that is at this moment, if somebody watches this fireside chat 10 years from now, I hope, let alone maybe 50, I hope this will just sound interesting to you as a historical event. But at this moment in the United States of America, there is very little fear of police on the part of many people. As a result, I'll give you an example. Policemen in the United States are being hurt at a greater rate than almost ever. There was a case where some illegal immigrants, I believe in New York City, young boys, or teenage boys just beat up, I think, more than one policeman. Just beat them up. Beat them up. There was no fear. When I was a kid, there was genuine fear of police. And that's a healthy thing to have. I'll give you another fear that's healthy to have. Teachers. You should have some fear of your teacher. In other words, anyone in an authority position, God, your parent, the police, a teacher, you should have a healthy fear. It can be combined with love. It could be combined with respect. It can be combined with honor. But there should be a healthy fear of authority figures, or you will have chaos. Because if you don't have healthy fears, you'll end up with unhealthy fears. You will fear how you'll be described on Facebook or in social media in general. People fear that. That's not the fear to have. So that's my case for really any authority figure. The people in your life that should not have any fear of you are your equals, your friends, your spouse. But every arena that you have authority, there should be some healthy fear of you. That makes for a much more orderly society. Okay, that's my case for healthy fear. I might add something. Parents don't agree a lot. Parents nor teachers. The thinking today is, I want to be loved by my kids. So here is my very important word of advice. You should work to be loved by your friends and by your spouse. And that's basically it. You should not work to be loved by your kids or by your students or almost by anyone else. I will tell you, I don't think I've ever said this publicly, I have never worked in any of my work, radio, PragerU, lectures, writings, I have never worked to be loved. I have been guided by, I have to tell the truth. And hopefully it will affect people. And I get a lot of hate and I get a lot of love. And I understand that. And the hate doesn't ruin my day. And I don't get into a high from the love. But I'm very touched when people say a loving thing to me. It's a beautiful thing that they do. But my life is not devoted to being loved by anyone but my friends and my wife. I'm thrilled to say, and I feel even lucky to say, my two sons, I believe, do love me. I believe it. I may be deluding myself, but I think so. But I have not worked to get their love. I have worked to be a good parent. That's not the same thing. In fact, they're almost mutually exclusive. Evie, if you work to be loved by your kids, you probably won't be a good parent. I used to say this before I ever had kids. I would say in speeches, listen, your kids are going to hate you anyway, so you might as well do the right thing. That's the truth. We have, which is worthy of another fireside chat talk, the whole issue of love and how I think that's been misconstrued, just like I think fear has been misconstrued. Anyway, this is very thought-provoking stuff. I hope you'll take it to heart, especially if you're a parent. Okay, it's time for you. And we begin with...
Hi, Dennis. My name is Ariana. I'm from Orange County, California. And my question for you is, what is the happiest moment of your life?
Well, the happiest moment of my life. You know, that's an interesting question. So here it's interesting on so many levels. So every one of you who has heard this, what is the think of the happiest moment of your life. And it won't be the same for everybody. Well, first of all, here's an example of what a lot of people might say. When my children were born, completely understandable response. But a lot of people don't have children. So clearly that's invalidated. Nathan has a few, but nobody knows where they are. That ruined Nate the Great forever. I'm only fooling. Poor Nate. I can't believe he shows up. He still shows up. The grief that I give this man. Okay, back to Earth. So look, a lot of people don't have children. So what's their answer? And by the way, not everybody's going to say that was the happiest moment. It's a very interesting issue. I have a theory on this. I believe that in the life of a parent, the happiest moment is their child's wedding, not their child's birth. Isn't that interesting? I certainly for me, absolutely, and both my kids' days of birth were highs. There's no question, but their wedding, it was higher. But there's no comparison. I didn't cry when either of my sons was born. I cried at the wedding, at their weddings. And by the way, I reflect most parents. In fact, it's a little odd to imagine a parent crying when their kid is born. I mean, they may be thrilled, especially a father. But fathers are like, you know, silly putty at their son or daughter's wedding. So I think that was true for me, the weddings. I have to say, my own wedding. I've had more than one. And that was very happy. I gotta be honest, they were happy. I'm not gonna rewrite history. So yeah. Now, as it turns out, there's another way of answering the question. In retrospect, what was the happiest day? That's not the same as that day. So, for example, although I knew it then, my life was set in its course when I won a prize given by my college, Brooklyn College, my undergraduate college. They gave one sophomore, there were 2,500 sophomores, they gave one an all-expense year abroad. I won it. And I was very happy to win it. But in retrospect, that was the day that set my life. Everything that happened afterwards happened as a result of my going abroad that year. Then I was sent to the Soviet Union, and then I came back and gave lectures, and the rest is history. So yeah, it's a fun question to reflect on. Okay. Ronald, 31, Long Island, New York. Dear Mr. Prager. That's sweet, dear Mr. Prager. I still do that, but it's old-fashioned. Which, I don't know. That's an interesting question. When did dear get dropped for hi? Right? It's now hi, Dennis. That's what an email or a text is. Is there a point at which you think a man is too old to get married? 100. I keep hearing from conservatives and Catholics how people should get married young. I only thought about pursuing marriage when I was in my mid-20s, and the lockdowns really set me back. I am now 31 years old, and I'm wondering if I missed my chance. Isn't that odd? Ronald, don't take it personally. That's an odd question. You're 31 and you're wondering, A, if you missed your chance, B, is it too old? Nathan. I'm back. Poor Nathan. He woke up in a good mood. And then he shows up here, never knowing what's going to happen. Okay, in all seriousness, I don't even know what it means, too old. Again, given my love of those five books especially, I love the Bible generally, but the first five books are my favorite. God says about Adam, God creates Adam. It says, it is not good for man to be alone. Very powerful thing. The first negative statement God ever makes in the Bible. It's not good for man to be alone. Everything till then was, and the Lord saw it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. And now, not good. It is not good for man to be alone. So, it doesn't matter what age. You should find a partner. I don't know why you would even think, what's your name there, Ronald? That you missed your chance, especially at that age. Okay. Sarah, 38, Moore, Oklahoma. Subject, why I used to drive 70 and under in the passing lane. 1 minute. I have to calm down. Hello, Mr. Prager. The answer you have always been wanting to know awaits you. I have not read this, so she's very confident. Have you read it?
Mm-hmm.
Before I divulge my reasoning, I would like to emphasize the used to in the subject header. Now that we have that clear, I like Sarah. I will explain. It's as simple as this. I could not think outside the box. Exactly. The right lane is for people that drive slowly. Being a new driver, I held the speed limit laws to a fault. If I was in the right lane and someone was driving 60, I would pass them in the left lane. However, only if it did not require me to break the speed limit of 70. I would drive in the left lane at 70, angry with everyone flying by. Just like we were angry with you. That was not following the law and breaking the speed limit. I quickly changed my mindset when I realized that following laws blindly without thinking for myself. Oh, excuse me. I read it wrong. When I realized what following laws blindly without thinking for myself did, I was the problem. By the way, that is my son Aaron's great, great answer to when did you decide to become sober? He said, when I hit bottom. And you could see it on the Fireside Chat, which you should watch if you didn't, with my son Aaron. And when did you hit bottom? His fantastic answer. When I could, there was nobody left to blame for my problems. When I realized I was my biggest problem. That, by the way, is the great difference. If I had to isolate one great difference in society between left and right, the further left you go, the more you blame others for your problems. If you're black, you blame whites. If you're a woman, you blame men. If you are whatever it is, you blame something in society. Whereas if you are the more conservative you get, and certainly the more religious, if you take religion seriously, the less you blame others and the more you blame yourself. I don't mean irrationally blame yourself, just blame yourself. I am my biggest problem. I was taught that at a very early age. It has directed my life. I am proud to say that I am a recovering snail driver. I want to meet Sarah. I'm going to Moore, Oklahoma. Thank you for caring and sharing your wisdom with the world. What a blessing God has given you with this platform to make a difference. Thank you. God bless you and your family. Sarah Eichmann. Bless you. Dane, 29, Sydney, Australia. Hi, Dennis. I know you have conducted orchestras in the past. Listening to you describe that, it sounds like a unique and wonderful experience. My question to you is today is, have you ever tried your hand at composition? Thanks. My ability to compose a melody is equal to my ability to paint. Zero. Not even on a scale of 1 to 100. It's not even a one. That was not given to me in the gift line. I have this imagery. I always think with images. I have an imagery of gifts before we're born. And you stand in line and you get a gift, but you can't be in every line. Nobody has every gift. So wherever the line was for like poetry, I was not in that line. I was not in the painting line. I was not in the composition line for music, but I was in the music line. There's no, in a different music line, appreciating it and eventually indeed having the ability to conduct from scores. But no, I couldn't compose anything. I'll tell you though, an interesting thing. One of my favorite composers is Schubert, Franz Schubert. Franz Schubert wrote some of the most haunting melodies a human being has ever come up with. He's known for his haunting melodies. And he was asked once, how do you come up with them? And I think he answered, if I remember correctly, they just come into my brain. And I've thought about that. That's sort of how my brain works, but not with melodies, but with ideas. They just come into my brain. One of my closest relatives asked me once, how do you come up with all these ideas? And I get, they just come to my brain. We haven't lost, we're on 320, and virtually every one is a new idea. Not every single one. Sometimes I review something. Anyway, I understood that he has that ability with melodies. Oh boy, here's a short one, but it would take me an hour. I've done the luck issue, haven't I?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So they've listened to your luck answer.
So Mark in California, to say someone is lucky seems to ignore the activity of the blessing of God. Good fortune is just random? ? Sometimes it is just random.
I don't view it separate in my mind. I think, you know, I'm lucky that God gave me a blessing.
Well, that's right. First of all, that's entirely accurate. Even if you believe God gave it to you or God saved you from a calamity, it's still you're lucky that God did. But I believe God governs but doesn't control. That God governs the universe is a given to me. When God intervenes, is not knowable to me, but I have the example that's coming out in my next volume of my Bible commentary, the Rational Bible, the fourth volume. So I discuss the issue of luck, because there's a lottery in the end of the book of Numbers, the fourth book. And then so it gives me a chance to discuss this. I'll never forget, there was a story in New Jersey, I don't know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. So two men, Orthodox Jewish men, were walking home from synagogue on a Saturday night, and a tree fell on them, and they died. Did God will it? Did God will that tree fall on those two men and kill them? I believe it's probable that a lot of the closest people in their lives believe that, and I have no desire to talk anybody out of it. If that brings you comfort, I'd have to be mean-hearted, hard-hearted to want to talk you out of it. But I'm a big believer in God and a big believer in reason. There's too much that happens that I think precludes God's having deliberately wanted it. And if God did, all right, if God did, and I'm sure of it, then maybe I will find meaning in it. But to leave the wife a widow and the children orphans for reasons that are completely imperceptible to us. Anyway, that's my answer. Yes, I believe there is good luck. I think there is bad luck. It has no impact upon my belief in God. God made a world in which it could happen. I'll end with a very sobering story. Many, many years ago, I knew a beautiful, beautiful couple, all three of whose sons died. All three, their only children. Then they all died in their early 20s. None in a motorcycle accident, none from cancer, but they died of some illness that it turns out was genetically conveyed to them by both parents. A very rare instance of two parents with this gene, which created it. That's bad luck. I can't believe in a God that would want to take all three children from good people. That's asking me to believe what doesn't make sense and is, I think, reflects in a bad way on a good and loving God. So God made a world where there's an element of luck. Makes perfect sense. I should end on a happier note, but I can't think of one. Anyway, it's not an unhappy note, to be honest. That's the way it is. Well, see you next week. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.